Alright, this is June 19th, Tuesday. Again, we have Mark Jasser in the studio for Science and Technology. Okay, Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
So, what do we talk about today?
We're going to talk about dark matter, actually.
Dark matter sounds like something you would hear from Avengers movie.
Yeah,
okay, so
exactly.
What is it about?
Well, it's something, actually, it's going to be a hot topic here in Seoul coming up next month because the COEX Convention Center is going to be hosting the International Conference on High Energy Physics for the first time. So this is actually a pretty big deal for the Korean community of physicists. And the kind of stuff that we talk about at this conference, yes, it includes things like dark matter. It also includes particle physics, like the Higgs boson, the so-called God particle that was discovered a few years back. All these particle accelerators around the world, you know, smashing atoms into each other, conducting experiments. Also, if you think about exotic topics in astrophysics, like black holes and dark energy, those all sort of fall under the category of high energy physics, which is what they're going to be talking about at this conference in Seoul next month, starting July 4th.
Wow. So you said dark matter is going to be one of the hot topics. So can you give us a little more detail about that?
Yeah, sure. So the nature of dark matter is really one of the biggest unanswered questions in all of science because, I mean, it's one of these huge fundamental mysteries about the nature of the universe. Basically, we think that about 80% of all of the matter in the universe, all the stuff, is made up of something that we don't even know what it is, so we call it dark matter. We know that it exists in galaxies in the universe because we can see its gravitational influence.
Oh.
So in other words, you know, all galaxies are rotating. The stars and the galaxy are orbiting the center of the galaxy. And based on how fast the stars are orbiting, we can tell how massive the galaxy is. The more massive the galaxy is, the stronger its gravity, and so the faster they should be rotating. So we can measure this speed of rotation and estimate how massive the galaxy should be. But the problem is, when astronomers tried to confirm these estimates by counting up all the stars in the galaxy, they found that there was actually a lot of missing mass. So the estimate based on the brightness of the galaxy, the amount of stars in the galaxy, the so-called light matter, it was much lower than what we predicted based on the rotation of the galaxy. So this missing mass became known as dark matter. And it's a lot, right? It's like it's 80% of all the stuff in the universe we think is unaccounted for. So this was really identified as a big problem in theoretical physics back in the 1960s and 70s, and it's been a huge issue trying to figure out what it is ever since.
So basically trying to figure out what the dark matter kind of helps understand what the whole universe is made of, I guess.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it's most of the stuff in the universe.
Okay, so what progress have we made so far? So in terms of dark matters and other stuff, on the universe.
Right, so there are a few different, you know, candidate theories for what dark matter could be. When I was younger and majoring in astronomy, actually, I was taught that the fundamental question was, is this missing mass really, really big objects? Like maybe it's stars or black holes. You know, maybe stars that are not shining anymore, dead stars. Maybe there are billions and billions of dead stars or black holes across the universe that we can't see. Or is dark matter some tiny, tiny weakly interacting particle that we haven't yet discovered? It would have to be a particle that is like it's everywhere in the universe. It's all around us. It's almost like a ghost. They're actually probably passing through us all the time, and we never even know that they're there. So they would be very difficult to detect. And when I was in school, I was taught that that was the most likely suspect for dark matter.
So basically, the dark matters are unknown materials.
Right.
If we interpret it in an easier way, then how do we detect, or what sort of mechanism do we use to detect or find out what dark matters are and how they form?
Right. So for these kinds of particles, basically, we have to find a way to make them interact with our
known elements.
Our physical universe. It's almost like, you know, it is looking for a ghost. You're trying to figure out how it interacts with something. So sometimes you build an enormous tank of water and you're waiting for a particle that will fly through that water tank, and probably, you know, billions and billions of them are going to go straight through without interacting at all. But maybe one of them hits a water molecule and it interacts, and maybe it emits a bit of light. And you detect that tiny flash. And so you wait maybe years and years and years for a particle like that to come along. So that's the basic detection strategy.
Mm-hmm. And what else can you tell us about the dark matters and other mechanisms?
Oh, other mechanisms. Well, yeah, there were plenty of other theories too. One of the other ones actually was a theory that maybe gravity itself changes. Maybe there is no missing matter. Maybe dark matter doesn't exist. But maybe gravity changes, the law of gravity changes at large distances in a way that Sir Isaac Newton didn't really expect. Mm-hmm. I was taught that that was kind of weird. Like, don't pay too much attention to that. You should really focus on these tiny particles, which were called WIMPs, which stands for Weakly Interacting Massive Particle. But the problem is that over the past decade, you know, scientists have built these big detectors and they haven't found anything. There is one detector at CERN, the European Particle Physics Lab in Geneva. They're the ones that discovered the Higgs boson. There's also a big detector in Italy called Xenon. But last month, both of those experiments reported that they haven't been able to find any WIMPs yet. Mm-hmm. And if they continue in their search and they can't find it, we're actually probably going to have to rule them out.
Right. Well, even if it's found out to be WIMPs, we still don't know it just yet because of the time. But what else could there be?
Right. So that is the million-dollar question. And actually, you know, a lot of scientists are starting to turn to some of these like underdog theories that were maybe ignored or overlooked before. This is going to be, I think, a real hot topic at this conference next month. Probably the next best theory we have is that instead of WIMPs, they could be a different particle, proposed particle called the axion. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the reasons it's really cool that this conference is being hosted in Seoul, because the Korean particle physics community has been crucial to the development of axion theory. In particular, Kim Jin-hee of Seoul National University, he's been a major contributor to this field. And Korea actually now hosts one of the biggest and best funded teams of researchers who are racing to try to find the axion. That's at the Institute of Basic Science in Daejeon. It's an international team of researchers. Their main competition to find the axion is a team working at the University of Washington in Seattle. So both of these teams have detectors that they've built to try to find the axion. The one in Daejeon is actually on the KAIST campus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to be clear, we don't even know if the axion exists.
Right.
But if either of these teams succeeds, they're probably going to win a Nobel Prize. You know,
wow.
It would be a tremendous accomplishment. And, you know, it'd be, I'm sure, very, very validating for the people who have worked on the theory for a long time, because for such a long time it was kind of an underdog theory compared to the WIMPs. So I think we're going to see a lot more attention on these two efforts at this conference.
Well, I haven't studied astronomy for quite a long time since I graduated from, back in high school, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really glad to hear that a lot of Korean research teams and Korean teams are participating in this area of field. Can you give us a little bit of more explanation, like how this axion differ from WIMPs?
Well, it's the theoretical basis is a little bit different. They're actually a bit lower energy than the WIMPs. And in fact, they actually have to be found using a very different technique, actually, that those water detectors that I mentioned.
Right.
Actually, that doesn't work so well with the axions. You actually have to build a cavity that is going to resonate with these particles. It's a very different technique.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the reasons why it was overlooked for such a long time, because you would have to develop this entirely new technology in order to go after it. But that's one of the things that this team in Korea has been able to do.
Okay, well, thank you, Mark, for your interesting topic today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.